Well, let's start from the beginning. Where did it all start, and where did you meet? You know, like exactly, because I know that you lived in Rankin and Dash lived in Cisco. So where was the first meeting?
I saw Dash for the first time in Cisco, Texas at the college. There were two bands that night playing for the dance. And our band, the guy that put our band together was from Coleman, Texas, Dean Beard. And Dean was a, his father and my father had went to school together when they were kids. So as soon as I got old enough to play, Dean started playing music. We put the group together and we went to play this dance and we met Dash and later on we all started to record together. And actually the three of us, Dean Beard and Dash and I joined the Champs at the same time. The deal was that they, since he was a single artist, mm-hmm. that they would, if he would let them take me and Dash, that he could come on the stage at some point in the show and do his songs. So we did that for about a year.
Hmm. What was life like with the Champs? Like, were you living out in California at this time?
Well, we were out in California, let's see, about 3 months after the summer of 58. It was in, I guess, the fall, yeah, fall.
Where and how did you come to meet Marcia? And why did you sign up with her management company?
Well, I met Marcia through Joey Bogan. Joey had put together a group, and he was looking for a saxophone player, and I had been in town for a while. I'd been out of work for like 5 years. I was doing apartment building, painting, doing interior work and everything, and just writing songs. I wasn't interested in traveling or playing nightclubs or anything. I just kind of had it with music. And so he came and explained what the group was going to be, and I said, okay, I'd play. And so we got together, and we needed a drummer. After a while, the guy that was with the group didn't work out. He wanted to go on his own and everything. So I told Joey, I said, well, I'll call a guy from Texas that I know to see if he'd come out and play. It was Dash.
Mm-hmm. What year was this, do you remember?
This was in about 1965. Mm-hmm. And or 66, maybe, even. It was, so I called Dash and I told him the idea that we had a good chance of getting a recording contract and I could go out and play drums if he didn't have anything else to do. And so he said, okay. He had been in the Army. They had taken him right at the height of the Champs' career. So he said, okay. And he came out and we put the group together. And later on we met Louis Shelton and he came to play guitar with us. And so we had people, we were playing kind of a combination of music. It was, some of it was blues, playing some things, some of the Beatle tunes. You know, we'd play everybody's tunes in the set. And we'd play 5.5 hours a night, you know. Just, I mean.
Was this the Dawnbreakers or this was another?
This was before the Dawnbreakers. This was when it was just the four of us together. It was called the Mushrooms. Well, we changed the
yeah.
name every week, you know.
Yeah,
every time we'd play another place, we'd change the name. So anyway, people began to drive all the way from San Diego and come down from Frisco and everything to see the group because they, you know, they liked the arrangements and everything, heard about it. And we were beginning to do some original tunes that Dash and I had written and a couple that I had written a long time before. And we'd try to work those in. You know, we'd learn other people's songs enough to get the job, and then when we'd get the job, then we'd start throwing some of our stuff in to get a chance to play it. And so one night, Marcia's daughters, three of them, Billy and Donnie and Lana, Nana was going with Joey, I think, at that time. And they came out to the club, and they liked it, and they went home and they told Marcia about the group, and then they brought her to see us. And it was faded. I think we actually met her in a bowling alley.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They just started from that. And, what type of place did you perform with the Dawnbreakers? Like nightclub-type things or colleges?
Mostly nightclubs.
Mm-hmm. What were the singles that you recorded with them? Do you remember the names?
We did a song called Evergreen.
Evergreen? Is that the same one that's out now?
No, no, it's a different one. Let's see, I don't know. We did one called Uncle Sound.
What label?
Beverly
was
Hills. We did a tune called Beverly Hills. Well, it was the first two releases were on Dunhill. And our first release, I should say, two songs. And it was kind of a bad time that we had with the producer. He wasn't, it was his first session he'd ever produced.
for a
rock session, you know. He didn't know what he was doing. So they ruined it. Later on, we got with Richard Perry, who later, you know, became Needles' producer, Tiny Tim. He discovered a lot of people. He was working with us, and it was a good combination of things. And so we cut a couple of other songs, one called Sweet and Low, and another one was, The Graying Eyes of Time. And those were never released. He got busy with Tiny Tim, and Tiny became a hit, and then one thing led another. Pretty soon he was producing all kinds of artists. Mm-hmm. And we were still trying to play nightclubs, you know, and make ends meet. So we decided that the way that it was, there was too many people in the group, too many opportunities, that during one set at a nightclub or at a concert, there wasn't enough, you know, to show all the talent that was in the group. And so the rest of them, they decided that they would, you know, pursue different things. Joey wanted to be an engineer all of his life. Mm-hmm. And being a bass player, then, you know, and understanding music, he's made a great engineer. Louis was, he had become such a demand for him to do sessions in Los Angeles that he was kind of leaning toward that anyway, because he wanted to stay in L.A. So one day Marcia came in and she said, "That's it. Since I quit, I'm no longer your manager." And we were right in the middle of a rehearsal. We were rehearsing to go back to Vegas to do another thing at the hotel there. She said, "That's it." She said, "It's not right." And she explained it. And, you know, everybody had a big disagreement and argument over it, because we thought she was wrong and we wanted to stay together and everything. And next day everybody said, "Gee, she was right, you know." We began to see it. And everybody began to make their plans.
And then you and Dasha decided to just stick together? And
well, not at first, not at first. What we decided to do was to write songs. And it must have been a couple of months that went by before we actually decided to do something, because we had been tired and we'd been working and everything. So everything, you know, really took on a positive attitude then, because everyone discovered that was the right move to make. We decided to go to Challenge Records, which I had been tied up with their writing company, Four Star Publishers, and to pool our resources and buy my contract as a writer back, so that we could start our own publishing company and get me out of the contract, because that was holding the group up anyway for a long time. So we did, and we decided that the seven of us would stay together and work, you know, try to to help one another to get started. And so they all did, and they figured me and Dash at that time, since we were writing the tunes and everything, had the best opportunity, because there was only two of us. We were both guys. We were young enough that we could, you know, hit a long shot at it. And so they just decided that we would start a publishing company, and Marcia said she would manage us, and started bringing record companies in to hear our material.
This was right before Dash learned to play the mandolin?
Yeah, he learned to play it about 3 weeks or 4 weeks before we did our first thing on the stage.
After becoming Seals and Cross, did you begin to write songs right away, or like did you start to use your old material that you had written?
No. We started using the new material. What we did is we went out to the Troubadour in Los Angeles and to the Ice House out in Pasadena, and we went out on Hoot Night and got up and did our tunes just for the fun of it. We were, you know, we were hoping that someday we'd get a chance to sing and play together and record and everything. But, it, you know, it's something like in the back of your mind. You don't really think it's ever going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so we were satisfied to play for our meals. You know, I mean, we were doing our own tunes. And that was the greatest experience that we'd ever had, because we'd spent all this time working for other people, doing their songs. It was always their thing, and we were like in the background. And we got a chance to express ourselves musically and lyrically. And it was great. We loved it.
What was your first really big break as Seals and Cross?
Well, the big break came when Summer Breeze became a hit.
Mm-hmm. Like, what about signing with TA Records and releasing your first two albums? You know, like, was that a big break, do you think?
Well, that was a big break to us at that time. TA was a new label. And had been formed by David Susskind, Dan Melnick, and they had chosen Steve Bender to run the label. And as it turned out, they discovered Dennis Lambert and Brian Potter, they were on there. And John Hartford was there. And us. And I think one other girl, I forget who it was, was there. One girl, I can't think of her name. But anyway, let's see, it wasn't Liza Minnelli, but it was some name, but I can't remember now. Anyway, that was all that was on the label. And so what they decided to do was that they would distribute through Bell Records. At that time, Bell Records was not too familiar with album sales. They were mainly, their emphasis was on single records. And our first two albums were not made with any singles in mind. They were made strictly
as
albums.
Oh, I was going to ask that too. And Flash Cube too.
So as a result of it, Warner Brothers then heard the tapes and heard the potential they felt in us, not only, you know, for the albums, but for singles. And so they approached TA, or Bell at that time, for to buy the contract.
What are some of your own personal favorite songs that you've done?
Well, I like Cows of Gladness and Seldom Sister, mm-hmm. Hummingbird, Ruby Jean and Billy Lee, Waylon the Rabbit.
When you first started out as musicians, did you ever think you would reach this peak of popularity? Or like, did you have it set, you know, in your mind that this is where you wanted to be when you were performing?
Well, I'll tell you, when we first started playing, I was really surprised at the reaction of the crowd. Everywhere we played,